Hey, guess what we're going to talk about today? Anyone have any clue? Anyone have a revelation from God what we're going to talk about here? We're going to talk about baptism here. We've done this. Now, this is the third Labor Day weekend in a row that we've discussed baptism. We actually didn't have anyone indicate to us that they wanted to be baptized today, so we didn't open up the floor, we didn't pour in the water, we didn't do that, but we're still going to teach on it, because it's important to understand and to see. Last week, we were still in Titus, and this week we're taking a little break from Titus, but we talked about in the second chapter of Titus, 11 through 15, about God's grace, and how God brings transformation, how He changes us by His grace. You know, grace is getting something we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve, right? Anyone here never sin? Is there anyone other than, I can't even raise my hand on that one. You know, we've all sinned, Bible says. We all fall short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, we all deserve eternal separation, destruction, hell, right? That's what, so God's mercy, He doesn't give us that. But through Jesus, He gives us His grace. And I was reading a little bit more this week on it, and how many of you ever had to take a final exam anywhere, in any class? Could be elementary school. Good, I'm seeing some people took, John, did you have final exams back when you went to school? It's a chalkboard, right? Yeah. Well, there was this professor at a Christian school, and throughout the year, they've been discussing grace a lot, and it just seemed like his class wasn't getting it. So it was time for the final exam, and you know what you do for final exams. You start, you know, I never did this. I figured if I don't know it now, I'm not going to know it after a few hours of cramming. It's like, you know, es lo que es, you know, whatever it is, you know. But some of you probably have crammed. Anybody cram for a final exam and things? Yeah, I see some good students. Yeah. So everyone's preparing for this final exam. They get in that day, and the professor says, okay, put everything away, because I'm going to hand out the final exam. Please leave it upside down on your desk until we're ready to take the exam, and I'll tell you when to start. So he passes out all the papers, and it goes all the way around the room, and he says, okay, begin. And they take the paper, and they flip it over. And all the answers are written on the exam. Everyone kind of looks at it, and what's going on here? And the professor says, look, I wanted to demonstrate grace to you so you would understand what it is. And what I did is I've gone out, I prepared the test as the creator of the test. I prepared the test, and I also wrote in the answers I wanted to see on the test. So if you would just sign your name at the bottom and turn the test in, you'll all get an A. Trying to think if I ever got an A on a final exam. Probably because I didn't cram. And then he went on to explain, I've known that you've struggled with grace, so I wanted to give you a demonstration. I've never done this before. And you know what? I probably will never do it again. But I wanted you to understand what grace is. I created the test. I knew what the answers that I wanted to be on it. And I put them on there so that you would get an A or have the opportunity to have an A. And they talked about it. Did they all deserve that A? Now, the people who were crammed all that time are going to think, man, I was going to get an A. But nobody did. He prepared the test, he completed the test, and he had it all set. And he gave it to them. They didn't deserve what he did, but he gave it to them. And you know, and that's kind of an indication of what grace is. Now, it's a whole lot more than that when we're talking about the God of all creation, right? It's a whole lot more than that. But it was kind of interesting. Probably everybody in that room got an A on their final. But there was an opportunity for people not to get an A, wasn't there? Because he did, even though he extended grace and filled out the whole test, he said, you know what? Sign your name at the bottom and hand it in. I could see some people, maybe like Sue, who was cramming, upset that she didn't get to take the test. Maybe she didn't sign it in out of protest and not hand the grade in. I don't know if you would have done that or not. I wouldn't have done that. I would have signed it real quick. Hey, yeah, here you go. Thank you. But they had to do that. It was possible for someone not to get an A in that final. They'd be nuts not to do it. But you know, it's possible for people today not to receive God's grace, his gift of eternal life, by rejecting it. Again, I would think they're nuts, but it's possible. But that's that idea of grace a little bit. That's that idea of not of getting something you don't deserve. You didn't earn it. You didn't make it happen. Sometimes in church, we kind of do that a little bit. That's what I was talking about earlier. You know, we say, oh, gee, if we do this, we'll get that. You know, we live in that type of a culture, right? You go to work, you earn a paycheck. You don't go to work. I'm not going to get political here. sorry. But that's the idea. Right? And sometimes we make it that way in church, but that's not how it is at all. Because of what God has done, because of his loving kindness, we come to a point of repentance. Repentance means to turn our way and have this resolve that I'm not going to live that way anymore. I was doing this, but that didn't please God. Now, because of God's loving kindness, I'm going to repent and live a different way. God comes in and fills us. He comes into our heart. We just sang that. And now it's like we get to do this. We get to come and worship together. We get to read his scripture and have his spirit teach us. We get to worship God through giving. We get to love other people by sharing God's grace and with them. We get to do those things. But it's not that we earn God's pleasure by doing them. Matter of fact, remember it said, he set us apart, we sang that song. He made us holy. We don't do it. But now because of what he's done, we get to. One of the things that we're going to look at today is baptism. And what is baptism all about? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I imagine some of you, like me, were baptized as an infant. All right? As a baby. I was probably like, I don't know how old I was, 3 months old. I was baptized in Resurrection Lutheran Church in Latham. That's how we grew up. And my parents, that's what you did. Now, I think, what do we do in our church with babies? What do we call it? We do dedication. What we do is we dedicate them to the Lord. And the parents are standing up, and if there's other people who are standing up with them, they're saying, we are, and the church is saying together, we're going to raise this child to know Jesus. We're dedicating this child to Jesus. And we kind of go back to Hannah and Samuel and things like that, look at the scriptures along those lines. But we dedicate children. I think that's what my parents did with me. Because I was kind of baptized into this faith that was going to grow in me as my parents raised me. Probably some of you, like me, chose as we came to an understanding of our faith to be baptized by believer's baptism, we call it, or immersion. Right? We saw the video where the person, that was the camera, went under the water, right, and came back up. And probably many of us chose to, as a response to what Christ has done in my life, our lives, chose to be baptized. Well, we're going to talk about that kind of baptism today, all right? We're going to be looking at, because that's what we practice here at City View Church. On your bulletin insert, there was there's a little outline. It's going to see the sermon notes, and matter of fact, I was thinking about this professor. I wouldn't want you to have to fill in any answers and get it wrong, so I put all the words on there. You can follow along. It's going to be on the screen here. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures. I just put the reference on the scripture, but they'll be on the screen. You can go check them out. Because we wanted, as we discussed baptism, you know, it's not so much what is the church of City Boo. Where do you go to church, City Boo Boo? City View Church, that's so much what City View Church says. It's not so much what Pastor Greg says or what I say or what elders say. It's why don't we look at what Scripture says? Why don't we look at what God says, what Jesus says? It's real important when we go through especially the Gospels and other places throughout the New Testament, especially the words of red, right? Because they indicate this is Jesus speaking. So today I kind of put this outline on. I asked a question, and then I put maybe what a response Jesus would say, and I backed it up with some Scripture. So I think it's really important that we understand what does a God say about things. So the first question he usually says is who should be baptized? And I could imagine Jesus saying something like this: the Father's desire is that everyone, every person who has put their trust in me should be baptized. A personal relationship with me through repentance is the only biblical requirement for baptism. I think Jesus would say that. We go back and we look in Acts chapter 2, that whole section. Remember, the Holy Spirit came on the early disciples. They told them to go and wait, and the Holy Spirit was going to come and empower you, all right? And that was the first time the Holy Spirit came. Now we see a little different, that is when you come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. But the first day, they had to wait for this. So the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. They went out into the streets. They're speaking all these different languages, and people in the marketplace are understanding these languages in their own tongue. And they're going, this is crazy. What are these people, all drunk or something? And Peter gets up and says, no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. No one here is drunk. Don't you understand? And he went on to preach to them. And as he was preaching on them, the people that were listening felt a conviction of the Holy Spirit. Not feeling guilty. There's a difference between feeling guilty and feeling a conviction. All right? Guilt isn't coming from God. Guilt's coming from Satan because he wants to tear you down. Guilt just tears you down. But when you're convicted of something, it's like you're cut to the heart. And you're saying, oh, man, God. And the people were saying, oh, man, Peter, what do we do here? What do we got to do to be saved? And Peter said, do you remember what Peter said? If you go, and I don't have it up on the screen yet, but it's going to be in verse 38, I believe it is. He said, repent. Remember that idea of repentance is, you know, I'm living this life. I'm not doing the things that honor God. And now I'm saying, God, I'm feel convicted of those things. I'm sorry for them. Forgive me of those things. And now enable me through your Spirit to live this other life that blesses you, that honors you. That's what repentance means. So he said, repent and what? Be baptized. Hey, you see why we filled out the paper for you? No, I'm looking. So it said, repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. So here in verse 41, we see that 3,000 people that day repented. 3,000 people that day were then baptized. That's where Jesus says, hey, anyone who has a personal relationship with me, anyone who believes in me, has come to repent, has this relationship, hey, you're ready to be baptized. You don't have to go through all these other classes. You don't have to go do all these other things. You don't have to jump through all these other hoops. You know me. I'm in you now. And you can be baptized. We look again in Acts 8:12. We see when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You see immediately when they believed, when they entrusted their life, that's really what belief means. They entrusted their lives to that, to Jesus. Then they're ready to be baptized. We see the Great Commission, right, in Matthew 28. Jesus says, go therefore into all the world, making disciples, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We get this great command that Jesus gives us as followers of now to go. So Jesus is saying here, look at anyone who has their personal faith, their trust in me. They've repented from their sin. Now my Spirit comes in and enables them to live this other life. That's you. He goes, you're ready to be baptized. That's what baptism's all about. That's who should be baptized. The next question we got on there is, why should we be baptized? You know, sometimes I hear questions like this. Okay, the first thing Peter said was, Denise, repent. And the second one was, be baptized. Okay, never going to forget that one, are you? Now I lost what I was saying because I thought it was funny. It makes me look stupid now. Why should I, you know, I hear people say, wait a minute, does someone have to be baptized to be a follower of Jesus? Logical question. What do you think? Does someone have to be baptized to be a follower of Jesus? No. You don't have to be baptized. What about the thief on the cross that day? You saw a sense of repentance in him. Leave him alone. He hasn't done anything wrong, he says to the other thief. We're getting what we deserve. He's not getting... You get the sense of repentance in his life. He said, remember me. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. You get a sense. Did Jesus get off the cross with that guy, baptize him? Whether it was an immersion or a sprinkle or pouring? Or No, he didn't, you know... So no, it's you don't have to. What do you got to be? You got to, you know, be baptized in order to get the Holy Spirit. You know what Peter said? Repent, be baptized, and you receive the Holy. You know, no. But the question I think we better ask, the better question to ask is, why are we asking the question? We get into here and we see, why should I be baptized? Jesus says being baptized means you're following my example. In Mark 1:9, we see that Jesus went into to be baptized. Right? He came up out of the water. We see Jesus being baptized, so we're following Jesus' example. If we say we're followers of Jesus, whose example should we follow? You know, if we're going to be followers of Matt, you know, we start wearing plaid shirts, start stealing your dad's sneakers, you know, though he doesn't have my sneakers on today. I bought some new sneakers, had them sent to the house. Hey, Dad, I like the sneakers. They fit really good. Well, they're not yours, Matt. I found them on Amazon for $27. They're mine. I'm not going to go pay $60 in a store. But, right, the people we follow, we're going to follow their example. So Jesus was baptized. So as followers of Jesus, we look to be baptized. Jesus might also say, being baptized means you're following my command. Again, we go look at Matthew 28. Therefore, go into all the world, baptize people in the name of... So we're doing what Jesus tells us to do. And I go back to that question. Why are we asking these questions about this? Jesus told us to. Can't that be enough? God bless you. God told us to. Jesus tells us to. You know, it's interesting. I kind of relate to this a little bit. Because when I was growing up, a long time ago, matter of fact, someone put on Facebook, if you want to see it later on, my school class picture from when we were in first grade. I was thinking about this. It was 46 years ago that I would have been starting first grade. It's like, wow. I was like, I don't even know the kids in the class. I can't picture who the kids are in the class. I don't know who they are. If you want to see that picture, let me know. I'll show it to you later. But I was asking my dad, you know, what was I like as a kid? I really don't remember before the age of 8. And he goes, you know, Jay, even before the age of, you know, earlier and later on, I basically knew that I could count on you to do what I told you to do. And it's true. Now, I didn't do everything right. Matter of fact, there was things I went and did, but I didn't talk to him about it before because I knew what he would say. So I still did things I wasn't supposed to do. But my dad, if he told me to do so, even today, if I was with him and he said, I'd like you to do this, I'm going to do it because it's my dad. You know, I think that's how it ought to be with God. God says, repent and be baptized. Let's repent and be baptized. Right? You know, you've often heard it said, right? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, you know what? God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter what we believe about it. It's what God says, because he's God. We're not. The third point, being baptized means you are providing evidence of a relationship. Let's look at Acts 18:8. Providing evidence of our relationships. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together. Believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. So it's like you see this evidence happening that all the people, you know, and that's kind of an evidence. As we baptize by immersion, and we invite people to be baptized by immersion, even if they had been baptized as an infant. As they call it, believers, as you've come to faith, we're joining together, and it's an evidence of who we are and what we believe. Let's talk more about baptism. What's the message of baptism? Jesus will say a couple things here. Baptism is a symbol of your identification with me, my death, burial, and resurrection. Check out Romans 6:3-5. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his faith? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So we see this baptism where we're saying Jesus died on the cross. He lived this perfect life. He died on the cross. He took our sin. He took our shame. He destroyed it by dying, paying our penalty. Someone had to pay the piper. Someone had to pay him for our sins. Jesus did that. And then he died. He went into the ground. On the third day, he rose again. So when we talk about baptism by immersion, we're alive, but we go and we die to our sin in the watery grave. We don't hold you down there for 3 days. We let you back up. And it represents this new life that you have. He says it again in Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of our God, who raised him from the dead. See, it's this idea. We're seeing that through baptism, it represents what Christ did. So there's a sense that we identify ourselves with Christ. The second thing it does is baptism is an outward demonstration of our new life in Christ and your identification with God's people. It's an outward demonstration. We use the word public. It's a public demonstration. This is who I am now. We had some fun baptisms back in April, and I had a lot of fun baptizing the last person that day, and that was my wife, Adrian. Adrian's a completely different person than she was before. Not because of baptism, because of what God has done in her life and the healing he has brought into her. It's so funny. We looked at the pictures of her being baptized. She looks different than she did a year ago now. Go watch her video. Go to cityview.tv. You go to, what was that series? Who Do You Think You Are? And I Am Victorious in Christ. Go check out that video. You can see Adrian's story. But she's a new person because she's victorious in Christ now. That's what baptism represents. It's an outward demonstration of our new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about this new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. We go look at Galatians 3:26-27. For in Christ Jesus, you are sons of God through faith. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We've now been baptized into Christ. It's now Christ who lives in us, and that's what it represents. It's this outward demonstration of who we identify both with Christ and with other believers. It's who we are. We get into another question is, how am I supposed to be baptized? Jesus says, like me. Right? We go look at Matthew 3:16. And Jesus was baptized. Immediately he came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. Jesus was baptized. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. We see him come up out of the water. So we baptize like Jesus was baptized. That's how we should do it. We see other examples. We see the eunuch, right? In Acts 8, he commanded the chariot to stop. Philip was in the chariot with the eunuch. They both went down to the water, into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. There we get rejoicing. Repent and rejoicing. We can go that way too. Oh, return. Repent, return. Oh, sorry. But we see this idea here that what happened is the eunuch came to faith, and Philip baptized him. It went down. So what we look to do is we look to baptize people and believers' baptism through immersion. Like Jesus did, like many of the other early Christians did. The last question I have for you here is, when? When should I be baptized? And Jesus might say this: as soon as you have placed your faith in me to be your Savior, repented from your sin, you can, and should be baptized. There's no reason to delay. When you come to faith in Christ, let's obey Christ and let's get baptized. Let's look at, we looked at Acts 2:41. Remember, that's the 3,000. We also looked at Acts 8:38 and 39. It's about the eunuch. We see that immediately, the day the 3,000 people repented, they were baptized. The day the eunuch came to faith in Christ, repented, he was baptized. So we should get baptized as believers and following God. That's what we practice here at City View Church. And I would encourage you, if you've come to faith in Christ, maybe you were even baptized as an infant. If you come to faith in Christ, be baptized by immersion. Because it's a public demonstration, letting people know who it is that you follow. You're following the commands of Jesus. You're doing the things Jesus did. You're identifying with a people. This is who I am. This is what I believe. This is what we believe together. And we look to follow after God. So that's a little teaching on baptism. The question comes down to, is whether or not we know God. Whether or not. Because it is possible to live this whole life. It's possible to go to church our whole life. It's possible to give money to the church our whole life. It's possible for us to read the Bible and not know God. Remember hearing a story of a guy who was exiled on this island, not John, but another guy. And all he had was this Bible. And in this little hut he made for himself, he put all this information that he read in the Bible. He could tell you the middle vowel of the Bible. The middle sentence, how many times the word "the" was used, how many, he went through and you got all this stuff, all these stats about the Bible, but in all his writings you didn't get any indication that he actually knew Jesus. Because it's very important, right? We live in a life, it's very important who you know, isn't it? Some jobs you might want to get, it's important who you know. You know, heaven and being with God, it's all about who you know. Jesus says there's people who believe that they were all right. And they said, on that day, they'll come to me and they'll say, "Lord, Lord." And he'll say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Knowing God is important. You know, kind of brings us to this point. Because it really gets down to, who is it that you know? Do you know Jesus, or have you just been religious? Do you know Jesus, or have you just been living a life just contrary to what God has called us to live? None of us know how long we have. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Today is so important. Jesus says today is the day of salvation. And it really comes down to, do you know God? We don't want to manipulate you into anything, but maybe you're struggling in life. Most of you know Adrienne's story. It's almost a year ago that she couldn't take life anymore and tried to take her life. And through that, God has just worked miraculously to see who she is today. It's amazing. But He can do that with us too. He wants to take our pain. He wants us to experience life the way He's brought us to that. I'm going to ask you all to do something real quick, if you would. Would you just close your eyes and bow your head and just kind of make yourself alone with God? Listen to His Spirit speaking to you. The things that we've been talking about today, the video that we watched. If you're here and you're saying, you know, I'd like to know more like that. I would like to know Jesus like that. I'd like to talk to somebody about that. If that's where you're at, saying, I don't know if I really know God, but I'd like to have that guarantee. Would you do me a favor and just look at me? You're saying, Jay, I'd like to know God that way. The other thing we're going to do is, I know there's some people who are struggling with different things in life right now. They're upsetting. And I'm not pressuring anyone here, but I've got some people who are ready to pray with you. Maybe you're going through, maybe you need a job. Maybe something's happening in a relationship. Maybe you just, this other things are weighing you down and you'd like someone to pray with. As we sing the next couple of songs, I would invite you just to come forward, maybe sit in the front up here. There's a kneeler, you could sit there and I'll bring someone alongside of you just to pray. Because you don't need to go through this alone. God desires to walk through it with you. That's one thing Adrian can look back and say, I can see how God led me through this. I was never alone. There's times He carried me. Even when I wanted to give up, He was there. So Lord, I thank You today for my brothers and sisters here. I ask, Lord, that You continue to work in their life, our life, that we might receive what You want us to receive from You. The comfort, the peace, the strength, that we'd be found established in You. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name.